is by Eileen Dunn, and Eileen was not able to make it today, so I will be presenting her presentation. I wanted to mention that a lot of the issues that Susan brought up about the difficulties on monitoring in terms of standardization of terminology and vaccine status, those are actually challenges that relate to all of the projects that we have talked about looking at cervical cancer precursors. So what I'm going to be talking about today for Eileen is a use of the Vaccine Safety Data Link project to monitor HPV-related outcomes and HPV types. Let me give you a little background about the Vaccine Safety Data Link. This is a large database that collects medical and vaccine information on over 5.5 million people annually. The percent of the U.S. population enrolled in 2005 is estimated to be about, for less than 18-year-olds, about 4%, and for those 18 and older, about 1.5%. This is a collaborative project between CDC and 8 managed care organizations. And the main purpose of this is actually evaluation of vaccine safety. We'll hear a little bit about vaccine safety in the next talk, but we have two systems in the U.S. to look at vaccine safety, and this is the population-based system that monitors vaccine safety through the managed care organizations. These are the vaccine safety data link sites in the U.S. In the red stars are those sites that are actually collecting data in the managed care organization from all individuals of all ages, and then the sites in yellow, Health Partners in the Marshfield Clinic, are focusing on infants, children, and adolescents under age 18. The sites that we've are using in our HPV project include Northwest Kaiser, Northern California Kaiser, and the Marshfield Clinic. And the Marshfield Clinic is going to be collecting adult data as well for the HPV portion of this study. So I don't know why that's flashing. It's not supposed to do that, but I guess it's effective to keep people awake. But in any event, the administrative data sources for this database are really quite extensive. The VSD collects hospital discharge diagnosis codes. It also collects enrollment and demographic data. All immunizations are collected because, again, this is for monitoring vaccine safety, and it's looking at events that occur post-vaccination. There's also birth and death certificate information and ambulatory visit diagnosis codes. And all of those data are put together, extracted, put together for the VSD data, and all these data are actually housed at the local site, not at CDC. So for our project, the HPV-associated outcomes in the Vaccine Safety Data Link, the purpose of this is to assess HPV-associated outcomes in order to measure vaccine impact. And existing administrative data, which I just showed you, are going to be augmented with HPV-associated outcomes. And this is a collaborative project between the Immunization Safety Office at CDC, which manages VSD, and the Division of STD Prevention. And funding is coming from a variety of different sources. And I mentioned before, there are three sites, the Marshfield Clinic, Northwest Kaiser, and Northern California Kaiser. So the specific objectives, the short term, is to develop the data infrastructure within VSD to evaluate HPV-associated outcomes. And these include cervical cancer precursors, as well as some of the earlier precursors that were just asked about, genital warts and genital cancer, and other genital cancer precursors. And we're going to evaluate these at baseline, which will be 2000 to 2005, and then again after vaccine implementation. And the second objective is to evaluate HPV types in cervical specimens. And to do this, about 6,000 cytology specimens per site are being collected, as well as 250 CIN23. They'll be evaluated at baseline as well as after vaccine implementation. The populations that are going to be focused are 11 to 30-year-old girls and women, and a variety of outcomes. Data will be collected on a variety of outcomes for this group, and then 11 to 30-year-old boys and men will also be a second focus, and genital warts and RRP will be collected on that group. So the methods for this, and all these methods that people have been discussing look maybe simple, but they've been very challenging. And I think Susan alluded to this a little bit. But what we're planning to do is to, the existing files, as I mentioned, will be expanded to include relevant information that describes HPV-associated outcomes. And these include a laboratory file from which we're going to obtain outcomes from the actual biopsy and the PAPs. And this is actually the challenging part, as it was mentioned before. There's not a standardized way that these data are reported from the pathologist, so no one's using standardized terminology. We're also collecting data from a procedure file, which are the CPT codes, and then we're also collecting additional ICD-9 codes from the adult data. This is kind of a schematic of what it looks like. These are the VSD files. There's a bunch of files that have the patient characteristics and demographics. Then there's the health outcomes files, and those are the files for which we're adding the HPV-specific ICD-9 and CPT codes. And then there's the vaccination records that HPV has already been added to. And then we're the really new part of this is we're adding data from the laboratory, which previously had not been part of VSD. And these are all linked then by the study IDs. The outcomes of interest, and this is kind of broader than the other two projects that we described, there are a variety of cervical outcomes. The laboratory data that's going to be collected includes cytology results. This will include ascus, as well as low and high-grade cell lesions, and then the histology results, which are from the biopsy, CIN-1-2-3, as well as other diagnoses. And then we're also collecting ICD-9 codes. This will allow us to use the laboratory data to validate ICD-9 codes. There's a lot of questions about the validity of using ICD-9 codes for some of these histologic outcomes. For genital warts, we're going to be using the ICD-9 codes. And because some of these ICD-9 codes are not specific for genital warts, we're also going to be doing a chart abstraction to validate the ICD-9 codes. Two of the sites are using genital wart-specific variables in a pull-down menu, and for those sites, and those are physician-coded, for those sites we'll be able to use the wart-specific variables and kind of bypass the need to use ICD-9 coding. And then we're also looking at RRP, which will have very few cases, and vaginal and vulvar outcomes, and those are going to be examined using ICD-9 codes. So the strengths and limitations of VSD. The strengths are that the data are available from multiple geographic regions. Vaccine information is validated, and that's kind of really an attractive feature of VSD because vaccine data is going to be hard to obtain in the short run for many of these projects. There's flexibility in the data elements because these are routinely collected administrative data. And there's a variety of limitations. I've just mentioned two here. One is it's not a representative sample of the U.S. population, and there are limitations in managed care organization retention in a variety of age groups, and specifically in the age group that we might be interested in. So just in summary, the vaccine safety data link could provide accessible and flexible data for measuring the impact of HPV vaccine on HPV-associated outcomes. It will allow us to get vaccine information. It allows for site-specific evaluations to address questions we have about the administrative data that can be applied to other projects that are using administrative data to look at HPV. And so our feeling right now is this ongoing evaluation will determine if VSD can be a good source of data for monitoring HPV vaccine, and we do plan to have a baseline data available in late 2008. Thank you. Any questions about VSD? Yeah. Well, we don't have anything in place to deal with it because, you know, if we lose them, we do lose them. But we will plan to look at that, and that will be one of the things we'll be looking at to determine whether or not this is going to be a viable system. Yes. We have not, you know, for the college age group, yeah, we have not addressed that issue right now. Actually, I must say there's been a lot of challenges to getting some of these data in a format that we can access them, and so that's been our main focus for this. We have not really addressed that issue about tracking, but I think that's something we can look at.